If you have your Bibles this morning, you may want to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I'm going to be having a couple scriptures coming out of there. One in particular is the one that I started this series off with, and we're coming back to it. It's chapter 6, verse 12 out of the book of Ephesians. And it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." As we've been looking at this thing called spiritual warfare, if you will, we found out that there are three different areas in which we have to fight. One is the I problem, the self, the flesh, if you will. The second one is the world, and that's where we're going to start looking today, because the world tries to conform you and me to its standards. Has the world tried to conform you in any way at all this week to its standards? Yeah, about every waking moment. How true. And then there's the third, and that's Satan. And he stands against anything that is good, anything at all that is of God. If you want to win this battle, you got to have Jesus Christ. Amen. You just got to have him, because it all starts, the victory starts with Jesus. We've seen one of the things we found out a couple weeks ago is that there is no condemnation for those who are in who? Christ Jesus. Yeah. No condemnation if you're in Christ. Part of the thing that we're going to be doing today that goes along with our service is to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we're going to remember Jesus as we do so, because he poured out an awful lot of great love for each and every one of us. Just so that you all know, as we do celebrate the Lord's Supper, you do not have to be a member of Dallas Baptist Church to celebrate the Lord's Supper with us. We do ask that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and that you've been baptized. But if you're here, and even though you may not be a member and you know Jesus, we ask you to please feel like being part of God's family and partake with us. Because I think as we remember Jesus today, if we think about what he has done for each and every one of us, it helps us to remember that he set the way for how to deal with the world, also with how to deal with Satan, and definitely how to deal with ourselves. Because he's the one who gave us the power. The moment that we accepted him, we got the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes? And Jesus is the one who set us free. Set us free from the sin that caused all the problems in the first place. Now, as we move in, as we look at the world, one of the things we have to understand is that this world is broken. You know? This world is really broken big time. And it's broken because of the same three-letter word that causes every man, woman, boy, and girl to be broken. It's the three-letter word called sin. It got man into problems, and the world suffered for it ever since because of man falling, if you will. And sin is nothing more than rebellion against God. That's all it is. It's rebellion against God. And as a result of this brokenness, as a result of the pollution that mankind brought about, this pollution came into the world. And the world has been affected ever since. And because of this, the world is also a force that is there, a spiritual force that is there, that you and I end up waging a war with, because it's trying to conform us. It wants us to work in a different way. It's all because of this sin that came about because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And now we live in a world that is not perfect. And we're not going to make it perfect. There is only one who can make us perfect and can perfect the world. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Basically what's happened, I think most of us would agree, sin has affected everything that there is on this planet. That's why every relationship that breaks ends up getting broken because of sin. It's why the weather itself is broken. It's why the governments are broken. You know, that's kind of an interesting thing, because really if you stop and you think about it, and you know that the governments are broken because of the fact the world is broken, how is it that we think that somehow or another people in Washington are going to be able to fix the problem? Do you ever stop and think about that? How are they going to fix the problem? They're broken too. Only Jesus is going to fix the problem. You know, and if you think that historically that you could fix the problem with legislation, go back to the time of Constantine. And he's an old guy. I mean, he was way, way back there. And he decreed that Christianity would be the religion of the day. And it didn't fix the problem. So laws don't fix the problem. I mean, it helps control and keeps people heading in the right direction and gives them a standard. But it's not going to fix the problem. The world's broken. People are broken. People need Jesus, and the world needs Jesus. It's why the Bible says in Romans 3:23, it's one of those famous verses that we know is out there. And it says there's not a single, basically, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It basically means that there's not a single solitary person on the whole face of this earth who is totally good and who has never been without sin. Not a one. Zip. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. It means that all, not some, everyone, you, me, the Pope, doesn't matter what your religious title is, we've all sinned. Nobody's perfect. Everybody's fallen short. We needed Jesus. We need Jesus. Now, I know even Christians try to convince one another every once in a while that they're not quite so bad as other people, right? We try to convince other people that, hey, we're perfect. I mean, if you're married, just ask your wife or your husband if they've ever tried to convince them that you were perfect. At least as perfect as you thought you are. I know I'm not brave enough to tell Jenny that I'm perfect. I'll admit to that. Maybe in that I'm a little bit perfect. No. See, we like to go there, don't we? We're not perfect. But so often as believers, we just try to convince ourselves that we're just not like the other guy. I want to make, you know, even as Christians, we try to make sins different levels. There's really, those are bad sins. You shouldn't do them. But then there's those ones that, oh boy, those are really bad. You know, the serial murderer, the rapist, the guy that abuses kids. Those are bad, real bad. I look the wrong way at a woman. Oh, that's a secret sin. They don't know that. Nobody knows that, right? God knows. But, I mean, we try to stack it, don't we? Those are bad, but these aren't quite so bad. Those are real bad. These are bad, but not quite as bad. You know, lying, cheating, and all the rest of that stuff. God just tells us very, very bluntly. He says, you know, if any one of us think that we're without sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth really isn't in us. Because you know what? Sin is sin is sin is sin. It doesn't matter what it is. The wrong thought is a sin. The lie is a sin. Pulling the trigger and blowing away somebody because you hated them is sin. Getting mad at somebody is... It doesn't matter. It's all sin. And our Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for those sins. He died and went to the cross to shed his blood for you and for me, so that we could have forgiveness of all of our sin. Amen. Now, every one of us has got failures. I can't live up to my own standards, much less live up to God's. Can you? Can you live up to your own standards? Can you live up to God's standards all by yourself? No. None of us can. We can't do it. And that's where Jesus came in. That's where he comes in. Because, again, he died for our sins so he could set us free. He paid the total price for them to set us free. To free us from the guilt. And it's in him that there's no condemnation. But even so, you and I still, and all the people who are here, cannot live a perfect life. We might have the power, but we don't. But you know what? Knowing Jesus Christ, welcome. That's okay. Glad you're here. But knowing Jesus Christ, as your Savior and your Lord. And knowing and having the power that the Holy Spirit gives you will help you live with less sin. You won't live sinless. I wish I could say you will. But you can live a life that has less sin. Only though through the power of Jesus Christ. I want us to look at some of the things, though, that we're faced from the world standpoint in this spiritual battle thing. And there's only one way that we can deal with this spiritual battle that we deal with the world. I told the first service, I said, you know what, I can fill this auditorium in about 3 weeks because, I mean, we're on the internet and I guarantee you I can get the radios and the TVs and the papers out here. I can fill this place in about 3 weeks' time and we'll have standing room only. Because what I'll do is I'll stand up and start preaching against political things. I'll stand up and start preaching against various leaders in the government and tell people how evil they are. We can fill this place. You know it? You believe it? Because that's what people want to hear. People don't want to hear the fact that that's not how God says that Christians are supposed to deal with things. It's easier for some leader to stand up and point fingers at somebody and says it's their responsibility. You take, for instance, the poverty that we have in the United States of America and the unemployment, for instance. It's easier to say, well, it's the rich people's fault. I want to paint a picture that says it's the government's fault. It's the rich people's fault. Depending on, you know, it doesn't matter. It just depends on whose side of the, you know, which political platform you're standing on. Or injustice. Luzerne County. I mean, you go right on up and down the whole line. We want to say it's somebody else's fault that we've got this corrupt system, and we can picture that person and put their picture out there to where we can point at them. Right? But what does the Bible say? The Bible tells us that we have seen these problems all around us, and they are a direct result of sin because we are living in a broken world. And God very plainly tells us where we have to look. And it's not toward pointing fingers. God tells us again in this Ephesians chapter 6 passage that the struggle is not against flesh and blood. Who's flesh and blood? Thank you. People. I mean, you've got flesh and you got blood. Our leaders have got flesh and they have blood. Do they not? The struggle is not against that. That's not where the struggle is. The struggle is against the powers, the world forces of this darkness. You notice it said world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, that's really kind of about as plain as it gets. As a Christian, we have this battle that is going on. Okay, hopefully everybody was able to deal with the eye problem, and you got that one under control. You got that settled, right? And you can go on to the world now. I wish it worked that way. It doesn't quite. You'll always be dealing with the eye problem. It's always going to be there. You will be dealing with that even as you deal with the issue of the world and that type of stuff. Because the influence of the world now is coming against you and it comes against me and trying to convince us and to influence us to conform us to the world's way and away from Christ's way. You see that? The world tries to influence us to do that. But we don't have, our battle is not against somebody. It's not against other people. It's really against the spiritual things. What is one of the most effective ways that the world comes at you? Really, what is one of the, anybody? What's some of the most effective ways that the world comes at you? Through your kids. What else? Yep, through other family members, through your kids, through the family. Peer pressures. Anything else? Through your jobs. Yep. Through TV. Yep. Through the internet. Misbelief. the beliefs, disbeliefs, yeah. Doubts, fears, yeah. Music, yeah. The world uses lies and deceits because all of this is wrapped into this spiritual thing of lies and deceits. It really is. It's really interesting. I was reading an article. And the guy, he started his article off with a quote from Lenin, and I won't get the whole quote exactly right, but the quote basically said that if you tell the lie often enough, people will begin to believe it as truth. And the article went on talking about how the news media and so much publicity is given using statistics that are weighted, if you will, that say that America has one of the highest divorce rates in the world. The actual real statistics, the raw statistics, show that it really doesn't. And this guy went on and was talking about it. He laid it all out in an earlier article. And he said it was just amazing how the news media and everybody that wants to, if you want to ride that, if you want to deal with or you want to use that as an emphasis point, you'll use all these statistics to say that America's got one of the highest divorce rates in the world. And in actuality, it doesn't. It's proven that America has actually one of the lower divorce rates in the world, except for the media and Hollywood. And he said their numbers do match the numbers that everybody throws around, but they're the only ones that really match. All the other groups don't. It's still more than what it ought to be, okay? He wasn't arguing that. He just was talking about how that the numbers are used so often to lie. But if you tell the lie over and over and over enough times, and you hear the lie over and over and over enough times, you start to believe that the lie is true, right? Doesn't matter what it is. If we say the economy is good over and over and over and over and over again, you say it long enough, some people will start believing that it must be truth. It's just you hear it over and over enough. It's kind of a subtle form of brainwashing, if you will. But you just say it over and over and over enough by repetition. I think Lenin was right. You tell a lie often enough, and people will start to believe that it's true, especially if they don't know where else to go. See, this is the advantage that you and I have. Who do we know? Jesus Christ. And God tells us how we are supposed to think and where our thought processes, how they ought to flow. To be effective in this spiritual battle against the world, friends, you and I have got to change our way of thinking in a major way. We have to become radical Jesus freaks, if you will. We have really got to believe Jesus. In other words, it all starts, part of this, if you know Jesus Christ, that's the first part. But if you know Jesus Christ, then if you're going to be really successful in spiritual warfare against the world, it all will then start on you and me believing God. Do you believe God? But Donna wants you to answer. Just think about it. Do you really believe God? Now, I didn't say believe in God, because there's a difference. You've got to do that before you can start believing God. But you've got to believe God. I mean, whenever that point is when you invited Jesus into your heart, you trusted in the name of Jesus Christ and you believed in Him. You trusted Him to manage your life, to save you, to keep you. But you and I, if we're going to be successful in this spiritual warfare battle against the world, we've got to change our way of thinking to be effective. And that starts with us believing God and what God says. by doing so, what's going to happen is you and I will stop buying into the world's way of explaining things, and we will instead start believing God's truth. We have to believe God. I'll ask you again, do you believe God? And see, believing God is a lot more than just stuffing our heads full of a bunch of Bible knowledge. You know, it's not how well you can play Bible trivia. It's a lot more than that. It's not just being able to stand up and recite verses at the right and reciting the right passage at the right time, or sounding like a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or whatever. We have to believe God, and we have to believe His Word in our hearts, in our very being. We have to start living who He is in us. And that means we've got to change our focus and change our focus from accepting the lies of the world and from just pointing fingers at people we don't like, whether they be the president or Congress or a foreign dictator or some rogue or whoever or a judge or whatever. We've got to change our way of thinking to believe God and His Word. In other words, we've got to realize, number one, like His Word says, that the battle is not against another individual. The real battle that you and I face is against the spiritual realms of darkness. What did the Bible say? It said, not against flesh. If you know Jesus Christ, the Bible says this. Do you believe it? You know, the Bible says that the battle is not against the flesh and blood. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? Not just up here, but in here. Because you've got to. If you really want to be successful and win. It gets down to, do you believe 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? All Scripture is inspired of God. That's all this. From Alpha in Genesis through Amen in Revelation. All. He wasn't kidding. He wants you and I to take that seriously. He didn't give it to us for a textbook so that some Sunday school teacher or a preacher can sit there and expound on it. This is for living. This is for reproof. When you and I need correction, His Word is there to correct us, to straighten us out, to get us back onto the right track, to equip us, not to whip us, to equip us. And when God, folks, I'll be serious. When God says sin is sin, sin is sin. And He didn't put a qualifier on it, did He? He said sin is sin, period, in the statement. He said, I went to the cross and died for that sin. That tells me something. Adultery is sin. It's not having an affair. It means that porneias or sexual immorality is a sin. It's not sleeping around or watching the internet, porn on the internet. Practicing homosexuality is a sin. Lusting after a man or a woman is a sin. Stealing is a sin. Lying is a sin. Murder is a sin. Unbelief in God is a sin. Anything that is against God is a sin. All Scripture is inspired and is profitable. It's speaking to the Christian. Sin is sin. There are no degrees in sin. And the world got polluted by sin. And it doesn't matter what some professor or some teacher or some scholar says or what a denomination says and then votes on to accept, regardless of even what our government decides to legalize. Sin, according to the Word of God, is still sin, regardless of what it is. And here's the, you know, if you and I are really going to start living this battle and understand how to win it, then we've got to deal with the first principle. And that is, we got to know the truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. Period, end of statement. Who is the truth? His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Logos, as it tells us in John 1. And you know what? The Logos, the Word, means just that. He is the written Word as well as the living Word. Every word is inspired by God, and it's inspired by God because of the Son, Jesus Christ, who gave it. So much for filling the church. We can either believe God and the Word of God, or we can start following Mr. Lennon's teachings and start believing the lie, and over time we'll accept it as truth. Because if I don't know God's truth, and if I don't believe God, then I, even as a Christian, am going to be an easy mark for the world as it tries to conform me, and that's the reason why I will look like a hypocrite to a lost person. Amen. One of the things that our Lord Jesus Christ didn't say that he was, like some of the religions say that he is, he didn't say, I'm a good teacher, you ought to listen to me. He didn't say, I am a way. It would be nice if you would follow mine, but there are others. He said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. And he said, no one. Come to me any other way. If you want to start winning the battle, if you don't know Jesus, you need to turn to him, because he died to forgive your sins. He went to the cross and shed his blood, paid a horrible price so that you could be set free. If you don't know Jesus, just ask Jesus to come into your life. Tell him that you've really been making a mess of it and you need some big time help. And you know what he'll do? He'll honor you. He'll forgive you of your sins as you ask him to forgive you your sin. And he will come into your life to be your Savior and Lord and start managing your life in a brand new way. A radical way. Not a church way, a Jesus way. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus, then my challenge to you is, do you believe God and do you believe what his word says? Because you've got to if you want to take the first step in winning the spiritual battle against the world. Father, thank you that we can be here this morning, and thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you love us so much that you, in fact, did give us your word. You gave us your word to strengthen us, to encourage us, to keep us on the right path, and to help us draw closer to you. Thank you so much for what your Son, Jesus Christ, did on that cross, Father, almost 2,000 years ago. I just praise you. So, Father, if there's a decision that anyone who's here needs to make, or, Father, if there's a decision that one who might be listening to the webcast later on would need to make in cementing and firming up a relationship with you, I'd pray, Father, that through the power of your Spirit, as only he can do, that one would be drawn to you and that he or she would give his or her life over to you, inviting you to come in to be Savior and Lord. For those of us, Father, who already do know you, May we just allow you to speak and show us, maybe perhaps, Father, ways or areas in our lives where we've fallen prey to the deceptions, to the lies of the world, and bought into those deceits. Help us, Father, to just listen to you, to walk with you, to understand your word, to trust you. I just lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.